Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever found yourself staring at a blank page, tasked with organizing a big event, and feeling that distinct knot of overwhelm? Like, where do you even start?
Yeah, that feeling is familiar to a lot of people, I think.
Right. Well, today we're diving into a comprehensive guide on planning golf team events. And trust me, it's not just a checklist. It's packed with surprising insights and actionable strategies you won't want to miss. Our mission with this deep dive is to basically shortcut you to being well-informed. We're extracting the most important nuggets to make planning a golf team event seem not just manageable, but, well, genuinely exciting.
Absolutely. And what's fascinating here, I find, is how this guide takes what could be a really daunting undertaking and breaks it down,
Yeah.
into clear, structured, manageable phases.
Exactly.
It goes far beyond just the golf itself.
Yeah.
It's really about crafting an entire experience, right? From that initial swing thought all the way to the final award. You'll walk away with a clear roadmap.
I completely agree. And when you think about crafting that whole experience, there's one place where it gets really interesting right at the start. Choosing the right venue. It's way more than just green grass and a few holes, isn't
Oh,
it?
definitely. It sets the entire tone.
It really does.
Yeah.
So what's one amenity the guide points to that truly distinguishes a venue, maybe something less obvious than just, say, good catering?
That's a sharp question, actually, because the guide certainly emphasizes that selecting the ideal venue isn't just, a logistical step. It's foundational. Location, accessibility, those are key, of course.
Sure.
But that wow factor often comes down to the nuance of the amenities, how they enhance the overall experience. Beyond the expected stuff like well-maintained practice areas and welcoming clubhouses, what really stands out is the importance of high-quality, flexible catering services. It's not just about providing food, it's offering diverse options. Casual lunches, elegant dinners, handling dietary needs, making sure the service is seamless. That thoughtfulness around food, it often translates directly into participant satisfaction. You hear about it in the feedback.
That makes perfect sense. Food truly can elevate an experience. So when the guide talks about prestigious courses like Fancourt and George or the Gary Player Country Club in Sun City, what makes them particularly well suited for team events beyond just the big name?
Well, the guide highlights that these aren't just famous, they're designed with versatility in mind. Fancourt, for instance.
Right.
It offers Montague, a championship course, serious challenge, strategic bunkering, tough greens.
Right.
But then there's also Autentica. That one provides a more forgiving, though still beautiful, round. That's crucial, for matching the course to your team's actual skill range.
Ah, I see. So you can cater to different levels.
Exactly. Offer different experiences, maybe rotations. And similarly, the Gary Player Country Club, famous for the Nedbank Golf Challenge, it offers that premium championship-level experience players often dream of.
Yeah.
That can be a huge draw.
Yeah, I bet.
Plus, these top venues usually have superior infrastructure, robust locker rooms, modern showers, plenty of golf carts, stuff that gets overlooked but is critical for comfort and just the flow of the day.
Right, the practical stuff. So it's about versatility and that premium feel. Okay, you've picked your dream course,
Yeah.
envisioned the amazing amenities. Now, the reality check.
The budget.
Ah, yes, the budget. So what does this all mean for our wallet? And maybe what are some less obvious line items we should really be talking about?
Okay, this is where effective financial planning really shines. The first step, obviously, is establishing a practical budget. Green fees, equipment rentals, catering, all the basics. But the guide surprisingly highlights something specific: flexible cancellation clauses with venues. Negotiating this upfront, it can literally save thousands.
Wow, okay. That's a big one.
It is, especially with unpredictable weather or, participant drops. It's better than just relying on a generic buffer, which, by the way, you still need.
Right, the buffer's still important.
Absolutely. For things like last-minute catering needs or maybe extra pro shop stuff, a key takeaway here is also that pricing structures, certainly in South Africa, can vary a lot. Day of the week, time of year, researching off-peak options can be really smart.
Good tip.
And yeah, don't forget giveaways or prizes. Those can add up faster than you think.
That flexible cancellation clause is brilliant, really proactive. It reminds me of the notorious extra box of golf balls costs that always sneaks in. Beyond just cutting costs, how does the guide suggest we can actually maybe grow the budget, sponsorships, and are there pitfalls to avoid there?
It's true. Those unexpected costs are golf's little gremlins. The guide definitely stresses sponsorship and fundraising as great avenues, but yeah, they need a strategic approach.
Okay.
A common mistake is just a generic, "we need money" plea. Doesn't work well. Instead, the guide advises clearly detailing the specific benefits sponsors get, beyond just a logo on a sign.
Right. What's in it for them?
Exactly. Think unique branding ops, direct engagement with participants who might be their target audience, maybe exclusive networking, offering, say, a whole sponsorship where their rep is on the tee box interacting with teams. It's way more appealing than just a banner.
I can see that. More interactive.
Definitely. The guide also suggests exploring local businesses and just networking within the golf community itself. And for fundraising, things like charity auctions or raffles during the event, they not only boost the budget, but also build community spirit. Give back a little.
Okay, makes sense. So with the money side sorted, hopefully it's time to build the actual day. Let's talk schedule, the backbone of any great event, right? How do we make it dynamic and engaging, not just a rigid timeline?
Comprehensive schedule is absolutely essential for a smooth flow. But like you said, it needs to be dynamic, not rigid. The guide advises meticulous planning from arrival to the last putt, but with built-in flexibility.
Okay, flexibility is key.
It is. Clearly outline registration times, welcome speeches, practice sessions, the main event, any extra activities. Using digital tools to share the itinerary is great. Everyone knows where to be. Plus, you can send quick updates if needed.
Like if bad weather rolls in?
Exactly. And what's often underestimated is allocating enough time for practice and warm-ups. It's not just hitting balls. It's players getting familiar with the course, boosting confidence. Maybe offer clinics or coaching. That enhances camaraderie.
Good idea.
And don't forget breaks. Regular, well-timed breaks for hydration, recharge, and those crucial networking moments. Remember, golf can throw curveballs. A rigid schedule can quickly become stressful.
That emphasis on flexibility sounds crucial. Okay, so an amazing event won't fill itself. With so much noise out there, what's the one marketing strategy the guide suggests is maybe most effective for cutting through and getting people genuinely excited and signed up?
Well, social media is essential, obviously. But the guide points out that leveraging golf-specific online communities, or maybe niche influencer collaborations, often yields a much higher ROI than just broad advertising.
Ah, targeting the real enthusiasts?
Precisely. Tapping directly into highly engaged people who already love the game means your message just resonates more deeply. Beyond that, building relationships with local golf clubs, community organizations, that creates organic buzz. Maybe host some pre-event gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
Another strategy that works well is creating memorable event merchandise. Branded caps, t-shirts, golf towels. They're not just giveaways, they're takeaways, ongoing marketing tools. Especially if you offer them as an incentive for early registration.
Smart.
And as we touched on, sponsorships aren't just for funding. They offer valuable marketing channels through their own networks. So detailing those benefits in your packages is vital.
Right, makes sense. Okay, so once they're hooked, we need to make sure getting them signed up is as smooth as a perfect swing. Eventbrite is great for efficiency, but does the guide touch on any challenges, like maybe data privacy concerns, or perhaps for smaller, more exclusive events, people preferring a more personal touch registration?
That's a really thoughtful point. The guide does acknowledge that while online platforms like Eventbrite are incredibly efficient for managing registrations, especially for larger events.
Yeah, the automation helps.
It does, but they aren't without nuances. For smaller, more exclusive events, maybe a hybrid approach or even more personalized, direct outreach might be better to keep that personal touch and sense of exclusivity.
Okay.
Data privacy is definitely a valid concern. The guide strongly recommends being transparent about your data handling policies and making sure your platform is compliant with GDPR or similar regulations.
Crucial these days.
Absolutely. And defining clear guidelines for team size, substitutions, player eligibility that's vital for fairness, and for those inevitable last-minute folks. Have clear policies. Maybe reserve a few spots, but maintain control. Ultimately, good digital tools for managing rosters and proactive communication are key.
Gotcha. Okay, before anyone even steps onto the course, the non-negotiable, safety. Beyond the obvious first aid stations, what are some of the less apparent safety considerations the guide encourages us to prioritize?
Prioritizing safety and compliance is absolutely paramount, yeah. The guide really drills down here.
Yeah.
Beyond first aid stations with trained staff, one often overlooked aspect is thoroughly familiarizing yourself with local golf regulations and course-specific hazards.
Not just general rules.
Not just general etiquette, no. Understanding unique course features, out-of-bounds areas, potential blind spots, communicating these specifics along with emergency contacts and evacuation plans to everyone beforehand is crucial.
Right, everyone needs to know.
Another less obvious but critical element is proactive weather preparedness. more than just checking the forecast. It means having clear contingency plans for delays, lightning protocols, even cancellations. And ensuring you have an immediate, reliable way to communicate this to participants. Imagine a sudden storm. The guide stresses how vital it is to have predetermined shelters and a clear stop place signal everyone knows. It's really about anticipating the unforeseen.
That proactive weather plan sounds like a potential lifesaver, honestly. Okay, so the last put's dropped, the scores are in. But the event isn't truly over yet, is it? How do we finish strong and keep that momentum going? Maybe even build a lasting community from this single day.
You're absolutely right. The event's impact can and should extend far beyond the final score. The guide heavily emphasizes engaging in post-event activities to really cement the experience and foster that connection.
Okay, what kind of activity?
Well, organizing a prize-giving ceremony is wonderful for celebrating accomplishments. And it's not just about the overall winners. Think about awards for various categories, most improved, best dressed team, maybe longest putt, get more people involved, boost spirit across skill levels.
Nice. Spreads the recognition around.
Exactly. Incorporating brief speeches, maybe some testimonials, makes it more personal. Then the critical step, collecting feedback. Simple anonymous surveys, gauge satisfaction, get honest feedback on what worked, what didn't.
Feedback is gold.
It really is. The guide suggests maybe offering small incentives for completion to boost response rates. This feedback is invaluable for next time. And finally, facilitating follow-up and networking.
How do you do that effectively?
Could be simple, like promoting connections through an online group, following up via email or newsletters with highlights, photos, maybe announcements about future events. That consistent engagement is how you cultivate a loyal community.
So what does this all mean for you listening? From venue scouting and proactive budget insights to dynamic scheduling and actually cultivating lasting community connections, we've just taken a really deep dive into every crucial step for planning a successful golf team event. You're now equipped with a clear roadmap, specific examples, and practical, sometimes surprising strategies gleaned directly from this guide. It really shows that even complex tasks are incredibly manageable with the right knowledge and, you know, a truly thoughtful plan.
Yeah, and if we just step back and connect this to the bigger picture, it raises, I think, an important question. Beyond just organizing a day of golf, how can the deliberate planning of a golf team event really leverage its unique format to cultivate lasting relationships and maybe a sense of shared purpose? How does it transform a single day on the course into the foundation for something more vibrant, ongoing community?